Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The first principle we want to extract from David's writings and David's life is this one we look at this morning. If you want to maintain a relentless passion for God, if that is your pursuit that is not going to wax and wane through circumstances, we must have a passion for God's house. That's what he says. What do I want to do? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. A passion for God's house. So let's start it with this summary statement. A passion for the house of God requires four activities that you find tucked into verse 4 and then a little later in verse 6. There's four things that he involves himself in, that he sets himself up to do. And I suggest to you that if these are four things that we pursue, rather than having so much of the ups and the downs and the comings and the goings of our love and our passion for God, we will maintain that passion for the long run of life. Go to verse 4 again. Notice the first two words. Do you see them there in your text? I hope you have a Bible available to you. One thing I have desired of the Lord. One thing. The first activity is simply this, a singular desire. A singular desire. He says, I just have one thing that I want to do. And what is that one thing? I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What is your thing? We all have something that's your thing, that you're interested in, that you like, that you're passionate about. For some of us, it could be defined by letters. Letters like NFL, NHL, MLB, NBA, NASCAR, whatever. Passionate about those things. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but that might be your thing. For some people, it's a craft or a hobby. For some of you, it's your business and or your job or your career or what you're studying in school, that you're passionate about that thing. Some of you, you're passionate about something artistic. Some of you are passionate about some things musical. Some of you are passionate about things engineering and working with your hands. Some people are passionate about fishing season and hunting season and fishing season again. You know, that's your thing. What is your thing? You know, churches have a thing. A couple weeks ago, my wife and I were in another state, another city, attending a graduation, and it was being hosted in a large church in this city. And the churches I always pay attention to, so I'm just kind of, I wonder what's about this church. It wasn't a Baptist church. I wonder what's their thing. Well, it didn't take me long to find out some things about what their thing is. You're driving into the parking lot in this driveway, big banner right beside the road, the driveway going into the big parking lot. It said, name a church, the debt-free church. That was their thing. Now, I don't know, based on what I'm about to tell you in just a moment, there's one more thing that was their thing. Actually, they have two things. But I don't know if that means that the church operates debt-free. I suspect it does. Or one of the things I think they advocate among their people, for their people to live debt-free. I kind of expected Dave Ramsey's picture to be up somewhere, but I didn't see it. But that's what they have announced is one of their things. And then inside, at least 8, maybe 10 big banners around. The other thing that was their thing, listen, I'm not making this up. The church owns a Cessna Citation III jet aircraft. And I don't know if they recently bought it or they're still raising money to pay for it, but there's lots of banners about this jet aircraft. I couldn't resist. I looked it up. The retail price of a used Cessna Citation III, $990,000. It's a lot of money invested in an aircraft. And I'm sitting at this graduation beside my son, who's a certified FAA jet inspector. I look at him, and he says, you don't want to know what the maintenance costs are on a Cessna Citation III. They're spending a lot of money to fly around. They had bike with fry for Brazil. I don't know what all they did with it, but it was obvious. This was their thing. Now, we don't have any banners up about jets. It's not in the budget to buy one this year, okay? So don't worry about that. You could buy a lot of regular airline tickets for $990,000, but that's me editorializing. But anyway, what is our thing? What would people say is our thing as a church? Maybe we could come up with something, maybe not. But I want to suggest to you, based on this verse of Scripture, there's one thing that should always be our thing, and it's in verse 4 of Psalm 27. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. We should be passionate about the house of God. Now think about what David faced. There was no building that he could go to, not even a building like this or any type of building. You remember that he, and this is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 6 and 7, and there's a bit up and down in this about trying to accomplish this, but he desired that the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, be brought to Jerusalem, the now capital city, and to sit on Mount Zion. He wanted to build a temple. God forbid him to do that, instead saying, that will fall to your son Solomon, which indeed did occur. So David brought the Ark, and he put a tent up. He pitched a tent that it would end, sort of the replacement tabernacle to what Moses had built long ago. So he desired, when he says, I'm going to go to the house of God, he would go to this tent. He would get as close. He was not a priest, so he could not go into the presence of the ark when it was ensconced in that tent. But he could go to the tent. He could go as close as he could because he wanted to be as close to the presence of God as he could get. Today, and some of you have been to Israel and have actually been there, many of us have seen pictures and know about what's known as the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall in Jerusalem. Basically, the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall is just a retaining wall for the upraised Temple Mount, it's called. It's just to kind of hold the dirt and the rock back, basically, this big wall. But for devout Jews in our day, it's as close as they can get to the place where God used to dwell in the temple that used to reside on that mountain, that platform. And they will go there, and if you've been there, you've experienced this, where we've seen it depicted in scenes where they will go there and they'll pray, and it's always full of activity, and people will write prayers and insert into the cracks of between the rocks, and there will be people praying for each other, and Jews around the world and Christians will spend thousands of dollars and travel thousands of miles to get as close to the place where God used to dwell in the temple as they can get. Well, we understand that in our modern understanding and New Testament understanding of truth, we are the temple of God. God resides within us. By the way, you want to talk more about that? Come back tonight at 6. And that's our theme for this evening. But there is some specialness about when God's people come together to worship Him. Jesus said it this way, and it still sort of mystifies me what this completely means. I don't think I've got the sum total of it in my heart. But he said this. He said, where two or more are gathered together in my name, I will be there in their midst. There is something extra special about being together with God's people to worship Him. And might we say it this way? In that respect, this is about as close to God as we can get. This side of glory. What would it be like? I talked to you last week about us as a church. I talked to you about our mission. The mission of the church is not a mystery. The vision of what we should be doing is not a mystery. It's called the Great Commission. It's called making disciples and preaching the gospel as the beginning point of that. It's as simple as that. That's what we do. But what if in the doing of that, we were the church in the Kanawha Valley that was passionate and committed to doing simply this? This one thing we desire above all else is to be in the house of God. This is our thing. This one thing we do. That we gather together. And I know we can worship God and we should worship God outside of our collective gatherings. We'll talk about that in just a little bit as well. But there's something special, there's something needful, there's something vitally, critically important to doing what we're doing right now. And thank you for being here to be part of it. Now, back in the old days, we used to talk about, you know, we encourage people that every time the door is open, they ought to be in church. Some of you grew up hearing that. Well, the only problem is the door's open every single day, and he talks a little bit later about all the days of my life, so we've got to have a little more broader understanding than that. But I simply say this to say this. We need to encourage each other. We need to take it as our personal responsibility that we give ourselves to the commitment of being in the house of the Lord. Now, I also understand that there is this thing called life and work and circumstances and health and everything else, okay? I understand that. But I want to share with you four stages of this commitment that you might want to just filter into your thinking. We're going to start at what is the absolute best. What is the best thing you can do regularly as God gives you life and ability and circumstances? Don't hinder that providentially that you say, I'm going to be in church and gather here. Best thing you can do. Number two, second stage. If you can't be here now, find another opportunity to be in your church. There's some people that I know, and God bless them for their faithfulness, that work every Sunday morning because of their employment. And some of them are dedicated to be here every Sunday night because I can't be here Sunday morning. I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be there. Find that other alternative. Find what else is available. And maybe many of us could expand our access to what is available. Number one, be here. Find another time. Number three, if you're not here, if you're somewhere else, and some of you have already got your condo booked at Myrtle Beach, I've told you this before. Julie and I are the only two West Virginians that have never been to Myrtle Beach ever. And one day we're going to go and get everything back right with the world, okay? So that we'll get that. But I've never been there, but I suspect there are probably churches in South Carolina, aren't there? You're on vacation? Go to church. It may not even be a Baptist church. That's okay for a Sunday. Go and listen to something from God, worship with some people. It's okay. There's probably even Baptist churches in South Carolina, I would suspect. Just go. Yeah, there's got to be. But wherever you are, if I'm away, one thing. Now, what if all else fails and you can't be there? Reserve Sunday morning wherever you are as a time of worship in a special sense. You know, I'm in a cabin 80 miles from anywhere else and can't get anywhere else. Then get out your Bible, sing a few old hymns, worship God, do what you have to do. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Four different ways, depending on circumstances, that you can fulfill this commitment. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Practice number two, or activity number two. A singular desire, number two, a daily practice. That phrase you see there near the end, all the days of my life. All the days of my life. This is not new to us, but we've kind of just codified it, and I've got it on a little card here. We believe followers of Jesus Christ do four things. Number one, go to church. Just talked about it. Number two, get alone with God. Three, get busy. Four, get in a group. We're not going to talk about three and four this morning. You'll notice this one's laminated. First time we met as a staff in 2015, I gave everybody on the staff a laminated one of these, and I said, I want this on display in your office. And I've checked on all of them. They've got them up, so they did good. Also, I told them this. I said, this year, your review, and we do, you know, annual reviews and performance reviews just like you would in your job, because this is important what we do. I said, basically, your review is going to be based on your personal commitment to these four things, and you're encouraging others to be committed to these four things. I said, we can't lead anybody somewhere that we're not already trying to pursue that as well. And we've had to make some changes, and some of us have had to really get to work on that. But number two, get alone with God. David said it this way, all the days of my life. What if our thing as a church, what difference would it make? What impact would it make on Charleston and the Kanawha Valley? If we're the church that we are committed to the house of God and we're committed to being with God every single day, reading His Word and praying to Him, I'd sure like to find out, wouldn't you? And to find out, you and I all have to make that commitment and encourage others to make that commitment and be an example of that commitment to other people. A daily practice, being involved in God's Word. I don't know where to start, Pastor. Well, just start. Just read something from God's Word and pray, if that's all you know to do. We have a big stack of little devotional books back there called The Daily Bread. At least there was a big stack. They seem to go fast. Some of you use that. If you do, God bless you. There's all sorts of opportunities. On the Connects table is a little resource sheet. of getting started. And if you go online, you can go back to our early series where we talk about these four things. We called it getting off of go. There's a whole video and presentation and suggestions there about some things you could do to start getting alone with God daily. I encourage you to do that. Twice a week, for those of you that are connected, you got a smartphone, you got a tablet, a computer, all those fancy gadgets that you are passionate about, unless it goes into the yard sale, you have one of those little devices. And I would encourage it. Twice a week, I do a video. It's usually 2 to 2.5 minutes long, and some of you are shocked that I could say anything in 2 minutes, but I really can on occasion with some careful editing. But we do a video on the back of your bulletins, how you can go to the website, and it tells you how you could subscribe. I'd love to have the opportunity to encourage you twice a week along the way to get alone with God, to think something from His Word, find some application, some little push, some encouragement. Does your cell phone ever need recharged? Have you ever had that moment when you're going out the door and you didn't recharge it the night before, and it goes, my cell phone, I have a little Android phone, when it's about ready, the battery's about ready to go, it has this pitiful little squeak, like, I'm dying. And it's a terrible feeling. It's just, I don't have the recharge. Don't let that little squeak start coming from your spirit because you haven't been spending time with God. Here's what David says. One thing I've desired of the Lord that I will seek. My pursuit is what? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Yes, when we're together, yes. But all the days of my life. Number three. Look at the last two lines of verse 4. All the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Number three is simply this, to be beholding His beauty. Beholding His beauty. You know, we husbands are really guilty of this, more probably so than our wives, if you're a husband this morning. Have you ever had this happen? You ever had the wife say to you, I've worn this outfit all day and it's brand new, first time I've ever worn it. Did you notice? Some of you, by the look on your face, I know you've been there and done that. I've tried this line. Well, sweetheart, that is just so stunningly beautiful, I'm at a loss for words. She didn't buy that any more than you just did, okay? It doesn't work. I didn't notice. I'm sorry. Sometimes we do that with the Lord. He lives with us. He provides for us. Every scrap of food we eat, every breath we take, every moment, every tick of the clock is a gift from God. The people in our lives, even the challenges and the struggles in our life, He allows only in limited portions so that we might grow stronger and trust Him more. He mixes it all together. He mixes together a carefully selected gift basket of events for every day because He wants to bless us. And it's a beautiful thing. And oftentimes we miss it. We take it for granted. We're unappreciative. We're unaware. David says it this way, here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to pursue. Here's what I want to do. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. I want to come to Him and talk to Him and ask Him, and I want to see His beauty. We live in a day where many people approach church with what has been coined a consumer mentality. You know, we select to shop and spend our money where, though, they have a selection, or they have the price that I like, or they have the customer service I like. That's where I'm going to spend my money. Many people do that with church. I'm going to go to a church that meets all of my needs. And to some degree, I understand it. You got children, you want a good children's ministry. If you're interested in music, you look for that would be something that attracts you, and so forth. And yeah, we want to do as best we can. We want to make the building look good. We want to, you know, the people that lead us in worship rehearse and practice, and we try to prepare. We do all those things because we aim for excellence. But you understand, stripping all that aside, why we come to church is to meet with God, to behold His beauty. And if we leave this morning or any Sunday morning, if we leave with the sense that I have in some new way or some familiar way, but reminded in a new moment that I have just beheld something about Almighty God, then God be praised and we will be blessed. We come to encounter Him, not to be entertained. We enjoy quality. We enjoy heart and things done well, but we don't come. This is not a show. No one, you didn't go through a turnstile to get here this morning. No one charged you a ticket. You can make an offering if God leads you and provides you, but this is not, you can go down to the Clay Center and watch any show that's coming through town. This is not a show. We are here to meet with God. This is sacred. This is special. And we need to come with our praying, seeking spirit to come and to appear before God and say, Lord, show me your glory. Reveal your beauty to me. I want to encounter you. May God help us to come seeking him. And if we seek him, we'll find him. It's what he says in the beginning of verse 4, that I may seek. I'm after this. I need this. And God makes himself available for it. I want you to skip down to verse 6 for just a moment. As I said, we don't have time to go through every verse. We're just kind of extracting a little bit this morning. He says in verse 6, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. End of the verse is the key part. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Number 4. Number 1, singular desire, a daily practice is 2, beholding his beauty. Number 3, number 4, sincere worship. That we sincerely come and express our, we come wanting to behold God, but we also come wanting to say something to God. Notice he uses the word sacrifice. You think in their worship setting, only the priest could go in the holy place. Only the high priest could go into the holy of holies, where God dwelt. Everybody else was sort of on the outside looking in. And you couldn't even look in because the way was blocked. And if you come to God, you had to come bringing a sacrifice. Something had to die so that there could be a sacrifice. Fortunately, we live in a world and in a time when that sacrifice, once for all, complete, never to be needed to be repeated, was accomplished on the cross when Jesus was the sacrifice. And we come to God on his merits, but we still come bringing something to God, bringing something to him, ourselves, our time, our attention, our gifts, our the way we treat our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That's an offering we bring to God. Sincere worship. And it has to be sincere worship. Let me just take a moment and say this. That sincere worship has a starting point. There's a place that it starts. Imagine with me for a moment you're standing in a garage. You're standing on the concrete floor, and maybe there's a couple oil spots on the floor, and there's some tools over there and a storage cabinet over there. It's just a garage, okay? You're in a garage. The fact that you're in a garage, does that make you a car? No. Neither does being in a church make you a Christian. We are glad that you are here. We're thrilled that you're here. Especially if you don't know the Lord as your Savior. We're thrilled that you would be open enough and brave enough to come and listen to the Word of God being taught and be around Christians. We must not threaten you too much. But I just say this, being in a church does not make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. We would like to see you be a Christian. We'd like to see you come to Christ. I'd encourage you to consider the claims of Christ. And if maybe you've heard enough and you're ready to take that point and God is moving in your heart, we would encourage you. You're welcome to even come at the end of the service and speak to me or speak to one of our pastors. Pastor David and Pastor Stotler will be here at the front as well. If you have questions, say, this is starting to make sense here, but I have a couple of questions. All we'd want to do is just share with you the Word of God, what it says about being saved. We'd love to have that conversation with you. And maybe you say, I just don't know about that conversation. Let me give you one more thing you can do. If you really want to hear what being saved is all about, I want to encourage you to do this. I want you to visit our church website. Middle of the front page, the main page, down at the bottom is just a link that says how to get to heaven. Click that link. There's a 4-minute video there that is best I know how, trying to explain to you what it means to become a follower of Christ now to be saved. Okay? Maybe you say, I don't really want to talk to you. You can just listen. Listen to that presentation, but listen to the claims of the gospel. Because even though you're here, maybe you're singing, maybe you're doing these things, that's good, but it only counts if you know Christ as your Savior, and we'd love to introduce you to Him. Now, that's where it begins. That's certainly not where it ends. Maybe you were saved a long time ago. I came to Christ when I was 11 years old, and that's now getting to be a long time ago. But I praise the Lord that there was a day when God moved upon my heart and He forgave me of my sins and made me one of His children. Not because of me, but because of His grace, His glory, His work, His all. He bestowed that upon me. And since that point, and wherever that happened for you, part of what God wants us to do is to worship Him. He just wants us with our lives and our lips and the things that we can do and the gifting He's given us, that we just worship Him. That's what David was excited about. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Verse 6, I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I want to have this one thing desire, to be in Your house. Yes, when we meet together for worship, but I want to be in Your house, in Your presence today. And what a great thing it would be if this is the one thing that we're known for. If you go down to verse 13, the next to the last verse of the psalm, I just want to read this little phrase. Just a final encouragement. He says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. And what's he believe? Here's what he believes. That I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Notice it doesn't say, I'll see the goodness of the Lord when I'm dead and gone and on the other side. No, it's in the land of the living. You breathing this morning? You're in the land of the living. It's right now, right here, today. He said, I know I'm going to see. If I hadn't believed, this wouldn't happen. But I do believe and I do understand these things to be true. And God will give me blessing right here in the land of the living. He wants to give you blessing in the land of the living. Where does it start? Verse 4, one thing I've desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Make that your commitment. And you know what? Maybe if you're not seeing much of the goodness of the Lord, maybe it goes back to a detachment from that commitment that David shares with us through his words and example. Let me take you to this phrase just to summarize. Are you seeing the goodness of God? Take a look at your passion for the house of God. That might be a good place to start. And maybe there needs to be some changes made as an act of worship for His glory.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.